Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Green 19 Podcast. I'm Dominique Yates. I'm joined by Ryan Wood and Tom Silverstein. It is Bears Week, and you can feel it in the air, or maybe that's just the cold weather.
I thought you were going to say, it is cold.
I was like, I don't know. I feel something in the air. It's probably just the cold. I don't know if it's about the rivalry game or not, but yeah.
I don't know how you guys could feel cold sitting in your cars.
You know, there, first of all,
which is one of the softest things I've ever seen in my 37 years.
you did walk to practice today, bundled up, walked uphill both ways, I'm sure.
Sat out in the cold while they waited to let us out.
He's a seasoned pro here. There's nothing to me that signals, as a visual, late season Packers football quite like a line of cars from all of us beat writers, sans spoon. Out, parked right outside the Don Hutson Center for 20 minutes as we're waiting to get into practice.
But I'm 14 warm. Months into Wisconsin. I'm not used to this. I don't think I ever will be.
Got to dive into the pool.
No.
You can't just tiptoe in.
There's ice. There's ice in the pool. I can't jump in.
To point one thing out that is not the medium to do so because it's a visual. But notice anything different about our heads here?
No, they don't have
that heads. Hair is a great insulator, Spoon.
Great point, yeah.
But it's not your – all the heat goes out of your head, so that's why you wear a hat. That's another thing. Keep your toes warm. Keep your fingers warm. You'll be fine.
Hey, you know what, though? It is like Mother Nature took a peek at the NFL schedule and saw Packers-Bears is coming up, might as well get bone cold because this does, to your point, Dom, it does feel fitting.
I've thought about this for a while. You know, it's kind of – actually, I've just thought about it this year. It's kind of stupid that the NFL starts when it does so that all its best games end in frigid weather. Yeah. Instead of being played in – you know, you want your best games in weather that – you know, where it's equal for both teams. I don't know. I guess you don't want to start football in the middle of the baseball season, but it just seems odd that, you know, you get into December and January and it really affects the quality.
As much as I enjoy you joining the complaining on the weather part of the Spoon, and there is more than enough room on this bandwagon, isn't that part of the point, though? This is a game of the elements, right? You're playing outdoors. That's why they never want to put a dome on Lambeau Field. Who can survive the elements of the heat early in the season, because that's real, and then the cold late in the season?
I guess, and I suppose, you know, I mean, you got all kinds of teams from Tampa had to come here and win in the cold in the NFC. So
and the
maybe
Packers
got to
go to Tampa,
really matter,
right? Yeah. The Packers got to go to Tampa or Miami in September, and they got to win in the heat. Jacksonville, you know, it goes both ways.
Yeah, true. But this whole schedule this year is funky. I mean, they're playing the Bears twice in 3 weeks. Yeah. They had the early bye this year, had a little mini bye coming out of Detroit, so. Trying to make sense of this whole schedule and season has been weird. Saturday, yeah.
I checked Matt LaFleur. He's never played the same team twice in 3 weeks. Can you remember that ever happening?
Yeah. I can remember that happening like early in a season once. I'd have to go back and look and see if it was actually 3 weeks, twice in 3 weeks. But it seems to me it's been close. Maybe twice in 4 weeks. I'm not sure.
Is really rare, and it really sets up some fascinating football here. I mean, it's not your typical Bears.
That's rare by itself. Yeah. Two teams where a game means something.
Yeah, I do think it's unfair that the game The one game is played at 7:25 p.m. I mean, really, if you're going to have a cold, ice-cold game, you know, for the sake of the fans, you know, have it at 3 o'clock or noon or something like that, because that could be just brutal on Saturday night in 2 weeks.
You know what, though?
By the lake.
You know what, though? Not surprising, because even when the Bears suck, the NFL loves this rivalry. It has always put this rivalry in prime time. And now that the Bears very much do not suck, they have flexed both games later into more prominent spots. The NFL absolutely loves this rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, even for me, because, like, I wasn't here last year. I was here for 5-12 Bears fired coaches. I mean, when is the last time there's been, like, the anticipation where both of the teams are at this level? You're fighting for a top spot in the NFC North.
2013.
Yeah, not since Matt LaFleur.
They were both fighting. So if the Packers won, they won the division. If Chicago won, they won the division. And then I think Chicago was aced out, right, of the playoffs? Is that right?
Well, in 2013? In 2013, that was the year before I got on the beat. So you were there. I was not. But I remember that game. I actually did an oral history on that game early on in my time on the beat because it was classic. It was the Randall Cobb touchdown, game. Which you can talk on because you were there. And that was a big-time game in this rivalry.
Yeah, well, it came down to – basically, the last play, I can't remember how much time was left, but the Bears blew a coverage, and Randall Cobb's running down the field. I mean, it was an impossibility. They were going to lose. I think it was fourth down, right?
It was.
And John Kuhn makes this miraculous block against Julius Peppers. Mm-hmm. I mean, he comes all the way across the formation and just gets a piece of him. And I don't know. I forgot who that safety was who bit on it, and Cobb was just wide open. And then there was that other one. You were probably on the beat then. You remember that one in the really cold and Jordy Nelson caught that deep ball?
No, it wasn't 15. It was 16 maybe? Was it 16? That was part of Run the Table, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, was that? Yeah.
Yeah. That was like a 60-yard pass right down the middle to Jordy Nelson.
Freezing cold. Single digits. Wind. Yeah, and then Crosby had to hit a field goal, I think, to win it.
But I think you are right. I mean, 2013 is the last time that there was a Packers-Bears game like this. I mean, Aaron Rodgers still, to this day in Pittsburgh, likes to talk about how when he came here, the Bears had the all-time series lead. When he left, they didn't. This is a rivalry that's been utterly dominated by one side for so long, which this is more fun. I've said it for a long time. Yeah, and it helps. I'm not a Packers fan. But the NFL is better when the Bears are relevant. The game is better. This rivalry is better when the Bears are relevant. There's a whole lot more to talk about. It's been one-sided for a long time, except the win streak ended at 11 last time the Bears were at Lambeau Field, and I do think that is significant.
Yes.
Because you gave a team that you had on the mat, you gave them a chance to get up, and more than anything, I mean, the Bears don't suck now, right? They're 9-3, number one seed in the NFC, number one in the NFC North. But you gave them the most priceless thing that you can possibly give a team that's on the mat. You gave them belief. They're coming in here with true heart and belief that they can leave with a win.
Yeah, absolutely.
It reminded me of the year, it's probably maybe 3 years ago, Detroit came in the last game and they won. Jamal Williams was on that team. And they kind of pounded the Packers, like were more physical. And then Detroit took off after that the next year.
Identical.
And it was like, yeah. And so, you know, this is kind of like the Packers, you know, this stands as, okay, this is a test. Let's see where you stand.
Yeah. Because
and maybe even into next year, you know, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. The Bears are surging. Like, there's no question about it. You know, you can't help but commend the job Ben Johnson has done this season. Just like a huge shot in the arm. Just like ignited so much in confidence, enthusiasm so much right now in that organization, so it's really caught my attention. And really just the rest of the season, when you're looking at the Packers, you're looking at the Bears, in terms of who could win the division, it could be a photo finish because, what, the Bears still have the Browns. Who do they – they have 49ers. The 49ers. They still have to go back to Detroit. They'll play the Packers twice. Then, obviously, the Packers have the Broncos, the Ravens. They have the Bears
Detroit's
as well.
Still kind of in it. You know, they are. I mean, if they beat Dallas, the Packers have to – The Packers, you know, everybody's fired up about the win over Detroit, and they should be. But this schedule with Chicago, Denver, Chicago, Baltimore, that's pretty rough. Okay. And so they start going to
Minnesota's
with a
no picnic either.
No, well, it is if G.J. McCarthy is quarterback.
But, man,
whatever that
it's a great environment.
There's been some bad losses in Minnesota.
It's a great environment.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, if they can't beat that team, they don't deserve to be in the playoffs. But the point is, you know, you start off that streak with a loss, and that's not looking good.
You know, I asked Xavier McKinney point blank, the Bears sneak up on you? And I thought it was very interesting. He's like, no. I mean, even last year, 5-12, he felt like they were much better than their record indicated. And why might he think that? Because they beat them last year on their home field a game before the playoffs, right? And then he's like, then they added Ben Johnson. And he's like, oh, that's going to work. And it absolutely has worked to this point, as I think everyone universally predicted that it would. But one of those people universally was Xavier McKinney. I mean, the Packers locker room definitely saw this coming.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you can look at the Bears' perspective. That's why they fired Matt Eberflus.
Yep.
It's like if there wasn't talent there, if they didn't think this team could be any good, they probably would have said, all right, we'll weather the storm and just see what happens. But they made that move. They went after Ben Johnson, an up-and-coming coach. And you see it already. And like you even mentioned in January when the Bears came here and won, that was a really big point where you said, okay, this team, if they get the right coach. I remember saying that. They get the right coach, they definitely have a shot.
Wasn't it interesting, to your point, Dominique, I asked Matt LaFleur a very similar question I asked Avery McKinney. And what'd he say? He said – He felt like Poles has done a really good job of adding talent to that roster. He specifically highlighted the GM and the roster and the talent, which they had last year, but they did not have the head coach, and now they do, and that's the difference.
Yeah,
I have to think that Ben Johnson was also involved in cleaning up their offensive line, which is what they needed. You know, he probably said, look, I got to have some veteran guys who can pick up my system right away and then, you know, draft some guys who'll come in later. But, you know, that's what they did with Jonah Jackson and Tooney and Drew Dahlman. You know, all of a sudden, they have a pretty good offensive line.
That's what he did in Detroit, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a coincidence. He came from that exact situation.
Exactly. Yeah. Ground and pound, right? Yeah. Just get downhill, run the ball aggressively, and I mean, that's what they've done. You know, we all kind of gone back and forth talking about the Bears. And I even myself was like, I'm not sure about them. Like, I know they're improved. I don't know how good they are or what to expect of them. But then to watch what they did against Philly, that was just – that really, really caught my eye. Not only that, just – what was it, 281 rushing yards between Swift and Menage?
That was impressive. That part was really impressive. Yeah. The one thing I will say about both these teams coming off – games, you know, beating rivals, beating teams that couldn't
contenders.
Beat. Is that those wins are not as great as they look, because Philly's a reeling team. Mm. Detroit's kind of a reeling team now. They've sort of all both lost their – I'm not saying they're not talented. I'm not saying those weren't, you know, good wins for both teams. But I'm not drawing like, okay, these are – two best teams in the NFC. Not yet. I still want to see what happens when they play each other and play some a little bit tougher schedule.
I think the Rams have something to say about that whole best team in the NFC, even coming off that Carolina loss. Seattle for sure. Mm-hmm. I mostly agree with you there. I mean, I picked the Packers to beat the Eagles at home because I see the same thing you do when you look at Philadelphia. They are reeling. It feels a lot more like 2023 than it did last year in Philadelphia. With that said, I do have to eat some crow, because I made it clear, Bears beat nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat somebody now.
Yeah.
They, I mean, no, they
you
absolutely
can't
did.
Take that away from
winning them. Philly is winning in Philly, even if they're reeling or not.
And then running for that is just absurd against that defensive front.
Yeah.
Now, the Bears, even with that win, have the softest strength of schedule in all of the NFC. They have, I think, the third softest strength of victory in all the NFC. It's under 400 on both.
Packers isn't much better.
So it is factually accurate to say the Bears have almost played nobody and almost beat nobody. I mean, that's just the facts. This is going to be a test for the Bears in some ways like they haven't seen, because Philly was reeling, and the Packers are surging right now. We'll see if that continues. It might not, but they are right now. Three straight wins, just one in Detroit on Thanksgiving. But you have to take them seriously when they win in Philadelphia.
Yeah, so you'll definitely get a good feel for where these teams are and I guess how things could take shape, because again, it's just a very intriguing matchup. So when I think about this game, I don't know if it's because we haven't had a podcast since Thursday, the Packers haven't played for a little bit of time, but I feel like there's just a bunch of things, hundreds of things like running through my mind about this team and this matchup. It could be anything from just with the offense, the defense, the injuries, or Jaden Reed. They have some injured reserve guys back in the mix just practicing right now. So I'm just curious, like, what have you guys been thinking about going into this week? Spoon, what start you off?
I think what I have been thinking about is whether Dontavian Wicks's performance is sustainable, mm-hmm. and if it is, how that translates to the rest of the season, because they've been missing a guy like that. Mm-hmm. And if he can be a 6-catch guy, 5-catch guy, you know, average 12 yards, 13 yards a catch, they just haven't had that from him. And Dobbs is up and down, and they just need some athleticism out of their wide receivers. If that's who Dontavian Wicks is, and they believe that for a long time, that's why they've stuck with him, okay, that adds a ton to their offense. And then you throw Jaden Reed in there eventually. That's what I've been thinking about, is that, you know, a mirage, or is that real?
Yeah.
This isn't what I've been thinking about when it comes to this week, this game, this matchup, but to your point, in the Packers' offense or passing game hierarchy overall, it's a very fair point, because in the last two games, they have rearranged their hierarchy in the receiving core. They have recognized that Christian Watson is their best receiver. They have thrown it to him, 17 targets the past two games. His first four games, he had 17 targets. They have thrown it to him like he is their best receiver. They have put Dontavian Wicks the last two games, not just Detroit, the last two games, as their secondary receiver. They have limited Romeo Dobbs to their third receiver, which when you look at on paper how the talent matches up, it's probably right. And it doesn't mean that Romeo Dobbs should just be banished to the sideline. He's made a ton of big plays. There might be a game again this season where he leads the way in targets. He had the fourth and goal touchdown in Detroit. He can make plays, but third receiver sounds about right. Now, what I've been thinking about with that, now Jaden Reed very possibly coming back this week, and he hasn't played football in a long time. It's going to be awfully tempting to just put him right back into the fold. Jaden Reed coming back does not mean that Christian Watson is still not your best receiver. No. You still need to treat him that way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and here's the thing. Dontavian Wicks had a great game because he finally faced man coverage. And same with Christian Watson. And it's been a long time since the Packers have faced a heavy dose of man coverage. Yeah. Those are two good, really man receivers. Mm-hmm. Romeo Dobbs is the zone guy. And so if they face, you know, if Chicago keeps both its safeties back and they can use, you know, Wicks and Watson to pull the safeties, maybe Dobbs has a big game. I don't know. Matchups have a lot to do with it, like LaFleur said. But I do agree that you absolutely have to get the ball to Watson. You can't mess around and use him as a decoy all the time. You need, like Davante Adams, you need to scheme plays for him. He's too athletic.
To a Tucker Kraft level? Do you feel like it's that dire?
Yeah.
Because last game it was 10 targets against Detroit. He had 10 targets, and you saw what happened when they used him. Because I thought one of the biggest like stretch for the Packers in that win against Detroit. They get the turnover on downs. By the second play, Love throws the bomb to Christian Watson. Just kind of took the air out of Ford Field. And I'm like, that's why Watson has to be your guy. He, you know, you've seen that explosiveness from him and how he's catching the ball. That's what stood out to me about just the receiving core as a whole, the way they made some tough catches. Wicks did it. Like I said, we haven't seen it as often from him. So I think that's kind of going to be the key for the group, especially offensively. It seems like the past couple of games, they're starting to figure some things out offensively. Like, they've ran the ball better. Like, they have some good things with Sean Ryan, belting the interiors better with Banks. Now it's like, can you keep doing it, and can you do it again? That's going to be the biggest thing I'm wondering.
That 51-yard touchdown to Watson is what told me, even more than the targets in the stat sheet, that the quarterback, who is ultimately responsible for target distribution, it comes out of his hand, that he has recognized that Christian Watson is his best playmaker, because they ran a mirrored concept, verticals on both sides of the field on that play. You guys know who was on the left side vertical?
Dobbs.
It was Romeo Dobbs against DJ Reed. And on the right side, it was Christian Watson versus Amik Robertson. And if you freeze frame it, DJ Reed bid on an inside move against Romeo Dobbs. If you go, you freeze frame it 20, 25 yards down the field, Romeo Dobbs looked more open than Christian Watson. But I asked Jordan Love about that play. He said that he basically made up his mind where he was going to go, which vertical he was going to target before the snap because of matchup. And he's recognized that even if Christian Watson doesn't appear open, he is open with that speed, with that 6'4 height. He is always open with those physical gifts. He recognized it. He went there. When your quarterback's starting to recognize that, that's when there's been a landscape shift on who the go-to guy is.
Yeah. Well, like Spoon made the point, that was the beauty of Jordan Love seeing man coverage. Like, when he knows what he's got from the defense, when he knows there's a one-on-one, when the protection is there, you know, Jordan Love, he can sling that ball. He can make some plays. And, like, again, he took advantage of that. But that has to be what this team does. When it's like, you have to have the trust. We talked before a few weeks ago about trust. And, like, Jordan Love trusting the receivers. Like, okay, we got a one-on-one here. I like my guy. I'm going to him. And so you saw that a lot in Detroit. And, like, we'll see how it just continually goes. And this is going to be unique with this Bears defense, because they don't really have, like, a great pass rush, per se, compared to what the Packers have. But simply put, I mean, they're leading the league in takeaways. They have ball hawks. It's really fascinating to see, you know, Kevin Byard and all those guys, just, you know, how that Bears defense has just had a knack for getting the ball.
Yeah. The thing, if I'm Chicago, the thing that I would be really afraid of is Jordan Love throwing without pressure. He's you know, so much better when he's not harassed. That's the way you attack the Packers. You have to get pressure on him. And so, you know, Dennis Allen, that's his big question, is how much am I going to blitz him? How much am I going to leave, you know, my guys in man coverage? If I do blitz a lot after what they had done to Detroit, it's a dilemma. But you absolutely have to. You cannot let Jordan Love's, you know, have time in the pocket, because he will tear you apart.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested to see how Dennis Allen goes after him.
Yeah.
The thing that I've been thinking about with this game is plus 17. That is absurd. The Bears are 9-3 because they're plus 17 in the turnover margin.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And how absurd is that? Second, it's obviously plus 17 leading the league. Second place is three teams at plus 9.
Yeah.
They're lapping the field. They're almost doubling up the entire NFL in turnover margin. They are one of the best teams in the league at taking care of the football. They are the best team in the league in taking away the football. But the Packers are one of the only teams in the league better at taking care of the football. They are the best team in the league at taking care of the football and limiting turnovers. I think they have like 7 this year.
Yeah.
That is good on good. And whoever wins the ball in this game is probably going to win. Plus 17, that is astounding.
Yeah, it's something to watch. So, as really last thing I'm thinking about as far as offensively for the Packers, because you mentioned if they have like those safeties back, you know, what have you seen from the up front from the Bears in terms of, we talked about the pass rush, but like the run defense, and I guess how could the Packers kind of match up there?
Yeah, I think the Packers have a chance to run the ball, and I think they, you know, they thought going into Detroit that they were going to have to pass the ball, because they knew Detroit is going to have Brian Branch up near the line of scrimmage the whole day, and he was. And, you know, running it was – they ran him pretty well. Mm-hmm. But they also had these opportunities to move the ball down the field. I think they're going to have to run it, and they may have to run it in some 8-man fronts, or they may not. But I think Josh Jacobs kind of showed last week that he's kind of got his mojo back a little bit. He looked fresher.
Yeah.
And he looked like he cut better than I've seen him. He looked like he had a little burst. I wouldn't be surprised if he's, you know, the target early on.
Yeah. Is there anything else you're watching offensively?
No, just to piggyback off that point, that had something to do with that 51-yard touchdown to Christian Watson, too.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Watson was talking about how late in the half, in Detroit, they noticed that the Lions defense was actually doing what very few defenses have done for most of the season, which is respecting the run. They noticed they're a little flat-footed coming up toward the line of scrimmage. And at halftime, they talked about, okay, let's hit them with a deep shot early in the second half. And obviously, they hit them with a 51-yard touchdown. Josh Jacobs is going to have played one game in about 4 weeks because he missed almost the entire game in New York. Mm-hmm. He missed the entire game against Minnesota. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now he's coming off a mini bye. And you saw just last week how much better Josh Jacobs looked. 29-yard run, his first 20-yard carry all season. Right. He looked like a different guy. And you have to imagine he is fresh, one game in 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's cold weather now, which is an advantage for the power back, which he's going to love running in this cold weather. Fresh, cold weather, I agree. I think that it should be a big Josh Jacobs week.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, power back, the Bears, they have two of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have some guys that can run the ball. And it's one of those things for the Packers. It's not like this isn't the first game they've seen that. Obviously, they just, you know, saw it in Detroit with Gibbs and Montgomery. So they've played some really good backs. But once again, it's going to be intriguing with this matchup, especially because of no Devontae Wyatt in the middle. Carl Brooks has been in and out. He's battling an ankle injury, and they still are trying to get some young guys, Brenton and Stackhouse, ready to grow and go consistently. Just, you know, what do you see from the Bears offensively, and in particular the run game with Swift and Kyle Manungai?
That offensive line can move people. Mm-hmm. They can – I mean, if you can move Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, you can move anybody. And really what they did – this is why it's, I think – this is another angle that makes the game interesting. Against Philadelphia, they just ran wide zones all game, and they made Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis chase, you know, go to the sideline. They come into this game, that's what the Packers do the best, is play wide zones. Yeah. Where they are the weakest is right up the middle. So that's going to be interesting. Does he keep going with that wide zone, or does he try to pound those guys, you know, with gap scheme plays right up the middle and attack, you know, the Devontae Wyatt-less defensive line? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, Wyatt, you know, I watched that game again, and he was really good mm-hmm. all game long. And, you know, and then they were able to play Brinson next to him. And Brinson held his own. But, you know, he's got Devontae Wyatt next to him eating up all the double teams. And he's got Micah Parsons doing it. So taking Wyatt out of the mix, man, I don't know how that's going to affect. I mean, I think it affects them negatively. Does it mean that they got to have Evan Williams up at the line of scrimmage the whole game? I don't know. But I'm sure Chicago is going to test that. They're going to test it right away.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see just the Packers linebackers as well. Like, is Quay Walker, where is he going to be at in the middle? Mike Zay McDuffie is a really good run stopper. And so, again, it's going to be fascinating how they do it, whether the safeties do, just, you know, because, number one, I do think you have to stop the run. Because Caleb Williams, though, to his credit, I think he's had a solid season. He hasn't always completed the ball at a high level. I think he's at around 58% completion. Hasn't really turned the ball over. But, again, it starts with stopping the run, and you'll see what happens. You know, what are you
thinking? Nazir Stackhouse was mentioning the same thing you did, where he was very candid. I asked what he saw on film about that Bears-Eagles game. He's like, a lot of lateral runs. You know, they ran around those two stalwarts that the Eagles have in the middle of their defensive line. And you're right. They absolutely cannot do that against this defense. You cannot run around side to side, horizontal. The Lions have tried that twice, and it did not work either time, including on the fast track in Detroit. You have to run at this Packers defense. So it's a very different week from the run game standpoint for Chicago. But that is where the Packers are most susceptible. I think the Devontae Wyatt absence hurts them much more in the pass rush than the run defense, because Colby Wooden's been a grown man in the middle. I mean, I really thought that losing T.J. Slaton this spring was going to be a significant loss, and it has not been because of Colby Wooden. And that's one of the bigger surprises for me on this defense that has, you know, been every bit as good as just, you know, they're borderline top five defense in the league. One of the biggest surprises is Colby Wooden's emergence in the run game. But what do you do now in the pass rush? And to your point, Dominique, I think it is. You know, we've talked about it at times this season, blitzing the linebackers. I think, as far as I can see, the best solution, a lot more double-barrel blitzes with Quay Walker and Edgerton Cooper. Like, it's going to have to be more. Because if you look at that that last sack that Micah Parsons had in Detroit, I don't think that was an inside stunt. He engaged on the edge, and it sure looked like he freelanced. Why did he freelance? Because Devontae White, who got injured on that play, created a wreck in the middle. And Penei Sewell could not get around that. Micah Parsons could. And there was a huge lane where Micah Parsons' speed could then take over because he had a free shot. But he went around the wreck that Devontae Wyatt created. And then Devontae Wyatt gets rolled up on. Devontae Wyatt's the one player on this Packers defense that makes Micah Parsons better. And that's a perfect example of how he does. How do you help Micah Parsons now? Does it need to be more double-A gap blitzes with your two really good pass-rushing linebackers? I think that's their best option, but they've got to figure something out there.
Yeah. How about Rashawn Gary getting to the quarterback a little bit more? Man, he's just kind of disappeared. He's playing the run. Fine, you know, there. But, you know, they paid him all that money because he can rush the passer. And, I mean, he's not an elite pass rusher, but, boy, you would think that there'd be more there. I'm not sure what's going on with him.
My best guess there is you watch Rashawn Gary play the run, and he is a max effort guy. I mean, Micah Parsons, you watch Micah Parsons on film, he's a fine run defender. He's not a liability by any stretch. But the effort on runs up the middle between Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons, it's pretty noticeable. I mean, Micah Parsons is the type of guy, he's like, okay, they're taking me out of this play with where they're running this play. And just sets your edge, and that's – Rashawn Gary's flying in every time. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of effort to do that. And my best guess is it affects the pass rush some. So would you rather him have more pass rush and be less of a run defender, or would you rather him give that same effort on run defense and you got to figure out other things in the pass rush game to help Micah Parsons? I don't know the answer to that.
I think in this game you want him to play the run. You know, in another game, you know, you might need him to pass rush a little bit more. And this is where, you know, I never thought I'd say this in a million years, but they kind of miss Lucas Van Ness because he's a big guy in the middle that kind of gives Gary a chance to, you know, work the edge a little bit more or line up inside, you know, get a one-on-one inside and use his power. They really haven't had that ability. So I guess we'll see. But they need more. They need more pass rush from him.
What did Jeff Hafley say about Lucas Van Ness? When he was looked like he was coming back a couple weeks ago, he said there's going to be a lot more cheetah package. Like that was in the works. Yeah. You're going to have a lot more of all three of them, the edge rushers with Lucas Van Ness in the middle, on the field together, which is designed for pass rush. And that, if they could ever get him back to full capacity, I think that's a significant thing.
I wonder if they'll bring Cox back to add a pass rusher to that package,
you know,
to the third down package. I even think they're going to consider Colin Oliver if he shows anything. Now, I mean, let's face it, he hasn't played since the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
He hasn't played any football. No. But – you know, when they drafted him, they said designated pass rusher. You know, we're looking at him as a designated pass rusher, and then maybe he'll be able to play linebacker later. They could use one more edge, you know, third down edge, to add to that package and try to get a little bit more pass rush.
Yeah.
I'm putting Colin Oliver in the Marshawn Lloyd camp.
Yeah.
I'll think about him when we see.
No question, right. And I'm not saying he's coming back. All I'm saying is, if he flashes, then I wouldn't be surprised that they use him. Mm-hmm. Cox, you know, is proven. I mean, he's a big guy. He's a third down pass rusher. He's pretty good. I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up
too. Why not more Quay Walker off the edge, though? I mean, that might be the best answer to me. Edge and Cooper, maybe off the edge, maybe A-gap. That's where I see it.
That's fine if you're rushing five or six, but I mean, I'm thinking all his four-man rushes, they need guys who can get to the quarterback. Now, you know, they dropped Parsons a couple times, they dropped their linemen, but, you know, I just think they're minus one. Well, with Wyatt, they're definitely minus one pass rush, and I think they were kind of a little bit missing one more guy on third down.
Yeah,
I mean, you'd rather have Quay Walker and Edrin Cooper just sucking up everything in the middle, so you can't throw anything, you know, either down the middle or close, you know, checkdowns.
Yeah.
Except that's the weakest part of both their games is the pass coverage, right? I mean, their run defense, their sideline to sideline ability, and their pass rush are all better than the pass coverage part of their
but
game.
But they rally so well to the ball that, you know, when he's playing that zone, that's not bad to be able to, if you can force them to do checkdowns, that's what you want, really. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe they do need to blitz those guys up the middle a little bit.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. One player I was thinking about, or maybe even a position, was at the slot corner. Because what Bullard missed practice on this, what, Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Nate Hobbs just seemed like he's been ramping back up to play. So that's something I'm wondering what they might even do there, because obviously Hobbs has been playing outside, you know, when he was not hurt. But you have Valentine and Nixon that, I mean, besides the missed tackle from Valentine, they've kind of, you know, done their job. So I'm wondering, like, if Bullard can't go, would they use Hobbs at slide? Or
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And I wouldn't be surprised if Valentine rotates with Hobbs. If Hobbs is healthy, I want to see how he plays if he's healthy. We haven't seen him healthy. I think he's a better corner than what we saw. And I guarantee he doesn't miss that tackle.
No.
Jameson Williams.
No, that's a TFL. That's a TFL.
That was embarrassing.
Yeah.
And, you know, Valentine needs to be sent a message that you can't do that.
Think about the Eagles game. What was the biggest play Philadelphia made in that game against the Packers? It was that little check down right before the touchdown where Saquon Barkley's wide open.
Yeah.
Carrington
Valentine missed the tackle on that one, too.
It's true.
That's where the Packers miss Nate Hobbs, is his physicality that he brings to that position, which is why I'm with you. You become a liability in tackling. On this defense, you're going to get replaced.
Yeah, that's going to something stand out. One last thing I was curious about defensively, because, you know, we talked about, you know, the D-tackles and what it could look like up the middle. I know you did some research. Jordan Riley, I guess when you looked him up and did some of the research, I know he was on the Giants practice squad. You know, what did you kind of see when you looked at that, and what could he bring?
He's a big man, like 6'5", 336. He's 338. You know, he's Nazir Stackhouse, but probably built a little stronger, maybe. Plus, he's played 21 games in the NFL. I didn't have a chance to ask any scouts about him, but I asked a reporter from the Giants, and he just said big run stuffer who was effective when he played. But, you know, the Giants have a good defensive line,
right,
and he can't crack that lineup. I think they just need a guy who can, you know, in pure rushing situations, maybe they put him and Stackhouse in there together. Or maybe if Stackhouse doesn't play well, then they play him. I don't know. But it's smart to add some insurance like that.
One of the two next to Wooden. You're not taking Wooden off the field. But, yeah.
No, absolutely. But he had to play every snap. And then, you know, they're probably sort of hedging their bet that Brooks will be healthy. You know, you never know with those ankles. They can get re-injured. So I don't know. I don't think he'll play this week, Jordan Riley. But, you know, it'll be interesting. A lot of people have brought up, and you guys won't remember this, but in 2010, the Packers picked up Howard Green.
Yeah.
He's just like 360-pound guy. And I remember when they picked him up, like the Jets had cut him. And he was out of football for a little while, and I remember asking him, so how'd you stay in shape and whatever, you know, and what did you do, you know? And he's like, oh, I just kind of played with the kids in the yard, you know. He was that kind of guy. He's just a big, huge guy who could give you like 15 snaps, played the run, made a huge play in the Super Bowl, hit Ben Roethlisberger's arm, and Nick Collins picked the ball off and returned it for a touchdown. But they picked him up midseason, and it was like that was the run stuffer they really needed. So everybody who remembers that is going to point to Jordan Riley and expect the same thing. We'll see. I don't know if he's going to do the same thing.
Absolutely. As we start to wrap this up, is there anything else you guys are thinking of or final thoughts? Hey, special teams. Your punt coverage has been good this year. Can't give up any punt returns like they did in January. Anything on your mind?
Cover the right side of the field where the punt's going. That'd be a good start.
Yeah, right?
Brandon McManus looks back.
Yeah.
He's been fine last couple weeks. That's got to continue. Daniel Whelan is He is a weapon as a punter. Feels like they had the penalty on the opening play in Detroit, but for the most part, the penalty's gone down. I think that they've been better, but now's the time when it really, really matters, special teams.
You
know, that last game came down to two field goals and last year, you know, and McManus hit a 55-yarder, and then, you know, maybe the Packers should remember to lie on top of a guy after they tackle him as the clock is running out. You know, maybe they have – well, they didn't figure that out in Cleveland. They didn't do it in Cleveland. Remember, they could have done that to Njoku. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a really good game. You know, I think the possibility of a split is there, but for the Packers – I think it's more important that they win this one right now, because they got to go into those. You don't want to go into those next three games with a loss. I just think that's or four games, I should say.
It'd be a big. A big win, four straight. We talked most of this season about the conference as a whole. Who's going to surge? Because it's all tightly packed at the top, right? Who's going to surge at the right time? And this is the right time. A four straight win, a win against the one seed Chicago Bears. It's hard to argue at that point the Packers aren't actually surging at the right time. I mean, that's how you become that team. Very similar to 2023, what they do after winning in Thanksgiving against the Lions 2023. They surged after that. You know, remember who they played the next week after that 2023 Thanksgiving game?
I don't.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
Here at Lambeau Field, and they won that game. Yeah. And that was such a momentum accelerator for this team. This is the exact same opportunity. You go and you beat the one seed Chicago Bears, and you've got your four straight win. You're accelerating the momentum at the very right time. That's when you look up that this be a very dangerous team.
Yeah, and I think that it's conversely the Bears look at it the same way.
Yeah,
they do.
You know, they look at the Packers like, let's vanquish them. You know, put them behind us. We're the number one seed. We're playing our best football. I think it's two teams who are trying to play their best, think they're playing their best football, and, you know, trying to take command of the division.
You know, what's interesting about this is I feel like the Bears probably look at the Packers a lot the same way that the Packers have looked at the Lions for the past couple years, where their eyes have been literally – after the win against Minnesota, Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love can't stop looking at the Giants-Lions game on TV. Their focus has been so, rightly so, so much on the Detroit Lions for the past few seasons. In the same way that the Chicago Bears' focus for a long time has got to be the Green Bay Packers. So now you're in a little bit of a different role here, right? You're not the hunter. You're being hunted, and how do they handle that? How do they handle actually having success again? Because they didn't handle it well in September. They handled quite poorly. Did they learn from that or not? Because how did they handle this success that they now have? They handled it well. Well, maybe they learned in week three, week four. And if they did, again, very dangerous team. But we're about to find all that out.
Yeah, and the last thing, you know, I guarantee you that Ben Johnson saved all kinds of stuff from the offseason for this game, you know. Knowing that it might come down to Packers games, and he's going to pull out some stops that are going to be very interesting to see and see how the Packers. I think McKinney was talking about it, you know, like you can't, he didn't say it exactly like this, but it sounded to me like he was saying, don't chase ghosts. You know, you have to play it very square. And I think we'll see whether they do that.
Very similar to how Matt LaFleur might have saved some things in Detroit for Dan Campbell. Right? It all kind of works that way.
Yeah.
Scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think Matt LaFleur wants this one after what Ben Johnson said?
Oh,
15.
God, yeah.
15,
absolutely. Yeah. Especially at home.
Yes.
Yeah.
With everything in this? Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't completely dismiss that they could lose this game and then win in Chicago. It's not they've played pretty well at Soldier Field, but I don't think you. I just don't think you want to give the Bears that kind of confidence that they beat you on your own home field. And so I think he's probably thinking that.
Yeah, I'm just imagining how much he wants to wipe that smirk off Ben Johnson's face, which I think what Ben Johnson said was fantastic.
I loved every bit of it.
Coming to set a tone, all right? You know, I have beaten Matt LaFleur. The old days of Chicago are over. And, hey, look up. They're 9-3, one seed in the NFC. Yeah, he was on to something, right?
Yeah.
But from Matt LaFleur's perspective, I think he wants to wipe that smirk off his face.
You know, he's not the first coach to do that. Lovie Smith did that when he first came to the Bears, and he said basically, it was more important to beat the Packers than anything else. Like, we got to win twice a year against the Packers. And he did. He changed that rivalry a little bit, for a little while anyway. And I know. So now we'll find out if Johnson can do it.
I loved it. I mean, this is what rivalry games are supposed to be like. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to see both fan bases are idiots on social media. Like, you're supposed to see the fun stuff. I don't like coach speak. I want to see some coaches take jabs. I like to see some of the fun. I mean, that's what it should be.
Yeah.
And again, it only makes it even more. It's like, yeah, of course, Ben Johnson said during the introductory press conference, but the fact that they come into this game 9-3 right now atop of the division, it just makes it more exciting. So that's what it should be.
One more wrinkle to what Ben Johnson said. Think of this. Lions beat the Vikings plenty of times too. I mean, last year's one seed in the playoffs is up for grabs, and Detroit wins that game against Minnesota. He didn't single out Minnesota. He singled out the Packers.
Minnesota was really good.
The Lions have beaten the Vikings with Ben Johnson plenty of times. He said, I got tremendous respect. He's not going to call out the Bears. He beat the Bears a ton too, obviously. Everyone did. He's not going to call out the Bears. But I got tremendous respect for this division, the Bears, the Vikings, and I have really enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice.
He's no dummy. It was really smart. You know, he's pandering to his base. He's being a good politician.
Including his players. Like, I think that was, yes, to Bears fans, no question, but that was also to his locker room of, hey, I beat this guy. This is the guy you got to beat.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm all for it. You want to take your shirt off in the locker room? You want to take jabs in press conferences?
If you win, who cares?
I'm saying, if you want to be petty. And just, I mean, look at the Packers when Evan Williams got the interception. They did the skull chant. I mean, again, it's rivalry football. It should be competitive. We're not ice skating. Like, let's have some fun.
Isn't it interesting? So Xavier McKinney last week going in Detroit, he said, yeah, they like to talk a bit over there, which I found hilarious because the Packers' entire defense just did the scold after picking off J.J. McCarthy.
Which was also incredible.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. But yeah, they like to talk over there in Detroit. Well, who's done more talking this year than the Chicago Bears? And this week, they're all very buttoned up. I asked Jordan Love. You heard what Ben Johnson said. He's like, yeah, there's some things. Like, what'd you think? What went through your mind? He's like, it is what it is, man. Like, they're not going there with the Bears. They went there with Detroit, not going there with the Bears.
Right. Well, I guess partly maybe they just want to do their talking on the field, and they got a chance to do it Sunday. So, hey.
They're not the hunter. They're the hunted this week. They were hunting Detroit. That's the difference.
Yeah. So, again, this is just, again, I'm looking forward to this game. It should be just a great environment. I'm glad we're in the press box, too. We don't have to deal with the cold. But other than that, you can't get much better than Packers, Bears. With these two teams, the Bears have a half game up on the Packers right now. So, again, this is a big one of two matchups over the next 3 weeks between these two just great, you can say, historic franchises. So, guys, thank you as always for the insights, and we'll get ready for Sunday here at Lambeau Field, Packers versus Bears. So, looking forward to it. Thank you all for checking out the Green 19 podcast. For Ryan Wood, Tom Silverstein, I'm Dominique Yates.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.